An Associated Press story on the wires this morning is bringing renewed attention to homelessness on the West Coast. Many news organizations, including this one, are running the story by Jillian Flaccus and Jeff Mulvihill, pointing out how West Coast cities are struggling with larger numbers of homeless people, some of them homeless in part because of the strength of the economy and the housing costs rising with the economy on the West Coast. In Humboldt County, the supervisors meeting tomorrow is expected to feature a request for a declaration of a homeless shelter crisis. Let's talk about what that declaration might do. We have one of its supporters with us now. Nezzy Wade is the board president at Affordable Homeless Housing Alternatives, AHHA, in Humboldt County. Nezzy, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm really happy to be here. And our acronym, AHHA, is said AHA because it's a good idea.
Okay. I had figured as much. I just hadn't had a chance to talk to you about it yet. All right. So give us a sense of the homeless situation in Humboldt County generally, if you would.
Well, it's a very complex problem, as in every place else, but it's ongoing now for decades. And we have, since our organization over the last 4 years, has been pushing for a shelter crisis to accommodate the thousands of people we have out there that don't have a safe place to be. And we have implemented for our county a homeless strategy implementation plan. The city of Eureka has declared a shelter crisis largely because of our push and other advocates and to do that. We also, the city and the county, have a joint resolution to not really put any resources into anything but permanent housing. So that leaves a large gap for folks for whom there really isn't much, and those are the folks who are most likely to be chronically homeless.
Now, you approach this from several angles at AHA, don't you?
Yes, we do. We started out with great big ambitions and some very, our mission was to educate and provide information and to be involved in advocacy and policy development for affordable housing with the people who are living outside. And we've been, for the last few years, meeting monthly and often weekly or daily for some of us with people that are living on the streets, hoping to understand how we can make the best transition possible. We have the Housing First concept, which is just a concept without programs to back it up, but basically that refers to the maximizing the low barriers to getting into housing. It's getting people into housing and then figuring out what they need rather than setting up, hurdles they have to jump through in order to get into housing. However, we seriously lack, all over California, affordable housing or housing in general. So it makes it extremely difficult to follow up on some of our policies or planning. And what has been happening recently in the state of California, because of the large numbers of homeless in our large cities, as well as in our rural areas, the state of California has passed legislation. We've had a shelter crisis declaration law on the books in California. It's 8698 to 8698.2, and it's been amended recently to add 8698.3 and replace part of that to allow specifically San Jose, for example, to address their large numbers of homeless. And it's introduced concepts very similar to what AHA has been working on now, based on the model of Opportunity Village in Eugene, Oregon, which is what we call detached bedrooms or developing communities with detached bedrooms and common facilities. Well, this law is calling them bridging communities, but they're essentially the same thing, where you don't, because of the shelter crisis declaration, it isn't the codes and the permitting and all of that can be bent. They can be suspended for the duration of the crisis. So it's an opportunity to build community and facility for people to be out of the fray in a safe place and legal, and reduce all of our costs, law enforcement interactions, all of those things that cost a great deal of money. And they're very affordable because they're essentially temporary and can be moved at the end of the declaration, or the declaration can be extended. It depends on what the situation is, but it impels the political subdivision who declares a shelter crisis to move in the direction of creating permanent housing and supportive housing and transitional housing.
Nezzy Wade is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the board president of Affordable Housing, Homeless Housing Alternatives, Inc., or AHA, in the Humboldt County area. You can join us on the exchange as we talk about homelessness there or more generally across the region. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So when you mentioned Opportunity Village, you're talking about then essentially something like a tiny house village.
Yes, exactly. And that's this new legislation in California refers to it as a bridging community, because it is an opportunity to live in community and get connected with the services you need, get connected with the, you know, personal growth and development that's necessary to access what you need to get housing permanently or to work towards developing a rental history and all of the things that make it possible for someone to get into housing.
So is there a place that you have your eye on and a whole plan in place ready to go?
Well, we have suggested some places, and we do have some places. Some of those are already principally permitted in our housing element. However, our vision is, because our issue is so broad and our county, and it goes from one end of the county to the other, and most of our services are located in the city of Eureka, which did declare a shelter crisis. And the burden of addressing this has fallen on the city of Eureka, and their ability to respond is very limited. And so with the county declaring a shelter crisis, it would certainly give us an opportunity to open up already principally permitted spaces that exist throughout the county so that people can be nearer, can be able to get services and support in the communities where they have their social networks, their families, and so forth. So this would be using SB2 zones. That's a state law that every housing element has to implement, areas that are principally permitted emergency shelter zones. And in that, these emergency communities or bridging communities can be located. Also, many cities in California now are revisiting the idea of a sanctioned homeless camp. We've written proposals. We call them outdoor living centers, because it gives people an opportunity to be safe, to begin to get an ID, get an address, and get connected with services. And from that, they can build a small structure and the community in which they live. So this is the kind of thing that many more people are looking at now, because we have such limited resources, you know, and these are affordable, inexpensive ways to do things where you can have multi-jurisdictional agreements, so cities that are close by one another can work together, or the county and city can work together to create places that then can be utilized by people from a wider range.
Nezzy, it sounds like AHA has really had to navigate a real thicket of jurisdictional concerns. I mean, state law, local law, where things overlap, where they don't, that sort of thing.
That's true, and in the end, if a shelter crisis is declared, as was done in the city of Eureka, which has been very beneficial, by the way, they have been able to implement a village-type alternative, and they're moving into transitional housing. It's the model that we've been promoting all along, but the city is doing it on a limited basis. And the benefit of having a shelter crisis would open up the opportunities also for many more people to participate. A shelter crisis would allow nonprofits, community organizations, those who just want to devote some time and resources to help resolve the issues around homelessness throughout the county would be able to participate. And we have food programs, and we have service programs that traverse the county. We have family resource centers that exist throughout the county, so people could access through those some of what they need.
And what do your numbers show? I mean, I know that there's just the point in time survey, which you know, people who use it still acknowledge its troubles. But I mean, do you have any good fix on numbers of people homeless in Humboldt County?
Well, we do. We've had historic numbers. This year, our point in time count was very low, but part of that is because the count was poorly organized and people just didn't count in their areas. So it's really not reflective of what we have. But we do know that there's probably about 1,500 people out there, and this is always estimated to be an undercount, that would have been picked up by the homeless survey. But there's also, in Humboldt County, according to the County Office of Education, the Foster and Homeless Youth Coordinator, through the CalPADS report, about 1,300 to 1,500 students from K to 12 that are housing insecure. They're considered homeless, and that means that they're couch surfing or they're trying to find their family, stacking up, people trying to find a way just to survive. Anything that's really compromising one's ability to get education is in terms of housing, is what is the primary variable there. But we also have the university, the state university here, and the community college, and they are both reporting high numbers of homeless students. HSU has an organization now that was started by homeless students that is called Humboldt Student Advocate Alliance, and there are estimated to be somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 homeless students. So we have a huge crisis with housing here.
So but by the numbers you gave then, I mean, if you're looking at 1,500 people plus the up to 1,500 potentially K-12 students who are in insecure housing, and then the numbers you just mentioned from the Humboldt Alliance, that could potentially be like somewhere around up to 5,000 people homeless in the county, or at least not having a regular fixed abode.
There are people that are travelers that come through. We're in the cannabis industry here, and there are some travelers who move through. They're not the majority, but there are travelers who move through. And we don't really have accommodations set up to address what people need. There are people who are looking into this, though, and we've been communicating with the students. We've been communicating with the people in the cannabis industry. We've been communicating with, about the types of housing that could be possible, because we've talked about farm worker housing, youth camps, nomadic campgrounds in general that could be located closer to services, are people or safe parking programs where people could be in their RVs or their cars, which may be their last attachment to, being able to participate in society. We've talked about rest areas like they have in Oregon. We've talked about things like creating tiny house villages, and the sanctuary or the outdoor living center morphed into a tiny house village. Those things are fairly low cost and easy to do. We have our organization spans from Southern Humboldt to Northern Humboldt, so we have people on our board and have people who attend our general assemblies that represent interest in all the communities throughout the county, who are very interested with others in their community working on projects like this. And the idea is that a lot of it is community driven. People who have been unhoused are working with housed members of the community, creating those bridges to community, becoming, engaged in developing a tiny house community. And in what we've done so far, just creating a few tiny houses, when that happens in community, people meet one another. We've had folks that have been homeless that have gotten jobs just by people coming who were contractors helping and saying, "Hey, you do that really well. Would you like a job?" It's a great idea.
Nezzy Wade, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the board president at Affordable Homeless Housing Alternatives, pronounced AHA, in Humboldt County, which is among the organizations seeking to get a declaration of shelter crisis by the county supervisors. They meet tomorrow. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. You can join the conversation on the Exchange about things perhaps that you have seen that work to curb homelessness in your community, or new approaches that look like they're showing some promise. We'd love to hear from you on this conversation on the Exchange. 800-838-3760 to join us by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So is AHA leading the petition effort for the supervisors tomorrow?
We are. This is the second time we've done this, but we started. We haven't made a fast and furious effort. We've had tabling at different events, and at those events, we've had the petition and talked to people about what value a shelter crisis would have and what it might do for us. The biggest being financial benefits to the county, because it would, reduce the cost of law enforcement and the use of the jail and expense as an expensive shelter or mental health housing in the jail. It would cut down on emergency hospital costs and chronic disease costs. And
how does it cut down on those costs, Nezzy?
Because the average use of the emergency room is very, very high for people that are on the streets, and when they're released, they're released back to the streets, and if there are ongoing issues. It's they don't really have availability in, to other things much of the time. So those costs, if they had a place to be and they could get good, they could get rest, they could get nutrition, they could get opportunities to address the things that they need, all those costs would go down. Law enforcement costs would go way, way down. We just wouldn't have the issues that we do. You know, our primary mode is criminalization. We're pushing people to the margins, and we had a huge eviction here about a year and a half ago.
Was it the Palco eviction?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked to people who would live there.
Yeah. And those people, many of them are still out there, and they call them the Gator, the police ATV that goes out and rouses people out every day. And so they even if they're farther out now, there's still no place for them to go. And they don't utilize the services of a mission because it's temporary and it's dormitory style, and people who have issues. There's a lot of people who have mental health issues, a lot of people who have physical issues, a lot of people have animals, and they don't take all of those things. So all of the typical reasons that people can't use a facility. But more than anything else, people who live together, couples, families, can't stay together. They have to be separated and go their separate ways to a men's area and a woman's area. And people would rather hang out together and have the support of their,
the people they know.
Reliable loved one than go in some place that they don't know. And of course, there are other issues having to do with their possessions. They don't know, they can't take them with them. They're subject to being confiscated or stolen if they don't take them. And so we just don't have a really good setup. There's also addiction issues and those kinds of things for which we don't have enough support either. Although we're getting a recovery center here opening soon, and hopefully that will be able to address some people. The biggest issue for us here is that there is a large number of people for whom our kinds of programming and services just don't work, because you need to have some kind of an income, or you need to have some kind of stability in order to access them, or you need to have a case manager, and we have really limited opportunities there. Or you have to be very seriously disabled or have serious, serious mental health issues to access the kinds of housing that is available.
So does the fact that you're having to bring in petition signatures to the supervisors meeting tomorrow indicate there's been some resistance from the supervisors to declaring a shelter crisis for all of Humboldt County?
Yeah, I think there is. I think because we've asked before, our Human Rights Commission has asked them, that many advocate organizations and individuals, when we did a petition before, have asked them. And I think there's a reluctance because they just maybe don't want to do anything or don't want to get involved, because it would require the county to work with organizations like us or some other organization and we're asking them to create a task force so that we can sit down and come up with a plan on how we can address this throughout the county, and for the county to help. The very first thing is select sites that can be utilized, and those are already principally permitted in many cases. Or it can be, if they declare a shelter crisis, it can be any property that is leased, owned, managed, or maintained by the political subdivision. So it could be properties they already have control of. It could be properties that are in the emergency shelter SB2 zone. It could be something that they could make arrangements for.
So it's a bit of a mobilization of resources.
Yeah, and it isn't. It is. But it doesn't have to cost, more than what they're already expending. I mean, sure, if you look at the comparison of cost savings to cost expenditures, and the apparatus is there. You know, there are those. We wrote a letter to the Board of Supervisors and an open letter that was in the paper, and basically, the whole idea is that when you have widespread chronically homeless population like we do, the declaration can support the kinds of solutions that are possible, not just from government, but from the community organizations and the initiative that's been pushed, intended to allow the you know, elected bodies to relax the zoning and not, and it reduces the liability. That's in the law. So anything is possible within, you know, health and safety concerns that would be considered otherwise negligent.
Now, is this a one-year declaration, an ongoing declaration? I mean, how does it work for the city, for example?
It is in the law. It says until such time as the crisis ends. Mm-hmm. But it is open-ended to some extent until that happens, and I believe that's the case with the city. But in the law recently passed, bridging communities and the actual projected number of permanent affordable housing units would need to be projected each year. So you tell the number of people that you have in communities, the number of people that actually get into housing, and then the opportunity is already set, for example, for San Jose for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So they have 5 years to, show through their evidence-based programming what happens with being able to affect homelessness. And that could be true anywhere. And if a shelter crisis is declared, then a plan would be developed, and that plan would be submitted to community development, and within 30 days they would respond.
So, Nezzy, before we go, and we're down to our last minute here, I mean, is there some reluctance to doing things like shelter crisis declarations because people are concerned about starting programs that they'll never be able to end?
Yeah, I think there is, or that their constituents will, they'll think of nothing but chaos. But they're completely in control, and it's the idea of working in collaboration. And in order to close the gaps that we have to move beyond the common definitions, so that those that are experiencing the problems are not seen as the problem. It's just something we have to do, and we really do need to focus on improving conditions for those that are the worst off.
All right. Nezzy Wade from Affordable Homeless Housing Alternatives, called AHA. She's the board president. They will be taking a petition to the Humboldt County supervisors tomorrow requesting the county to make a declaration of a shelter crisis, as the city of Eureka has done. Nezzy, thanks so much for explaining things and for joining us today on The Exchange.